Don't you appreciate that singing? I'm telling you, you don't have to get old and hard. You can have joy in your heart as you get older. I'm glad Anna, she is 106 years old. And she is thrilled to death when she walked into the temple that day. At the moment that Simeon was blessing the Lord and holding up that Christ child, the Bible said that she gave thanks also. She didn't have to be the first in the shout. She just joined in when she walked in on it. Amen. You can be thrilled about Jesus at any age. And I bless his name. It's our honor this week to have Brother Dana Williams with us in service. Going to ask Brother Dana to come around, preach to us the word of the Lord. And when he gets done, we'll go eat. Amen. I love this man of God. He's a blessing to my life. I appreciate him, Miss Esther, being able to be with us. And I want you to hear him gladly preach to us.
All right, let's take our Bibles, if you will. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter number 11. I hate to bring this up this morning, but I want to clear up a rumor that's been going around about 3 or 4 years. I feel like I'm the one to clear it up because I started it. I said that Brother Steve, I felt like had diabetes. I told a dear lady out in Springfield, Illinois, that to keep her from mailing him a cake. So I announced that here in the meeting, and over the course of the year, you know, they thought he had diabetes. Well, I didn't know he was going to turn it against me. Now everybody's asking me if I got diabetes. So I just want to clear it up. Neither one got diabetes. But I was up in Amish country this year and found some Amish diabetes socks. And I shipped them to him. So that's to keep him from getting it. Is that all clear now? Now we can move on to the word of the Lord. It is good to be here. Certainly have enjoyed what we've heard and felt. I was thinking about the family singing, and then the Lord moved, and they sang the song again and sang it again. I was reminded of a fellow that told me here a while back. He said, yeah, you know, I'm noticing some of these services, said they, if somebody says amen or shouts on the song, they'll back up and sing it again, back up and sing it. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. I've never seen a moon pie I just wanted one bite of. Isn't that right? I sit down to a good steak. I don't take a bite of it and say, man, that's good, and then push it back. Man, I love, and the preacher just preaching, man, wasn't that great? I like to hear it again. I like to hear it again. I thought about Job and all he went through. And he spent 18 chapters there letting us know that he didn't know what any of it was all about. He didn't know. But in chapter 19, he said, I know three things. I know that I got a redeemer. I know he's going to return. I know there's going to be a resurrection. And the three things he knew carried him through everything he didn't know. And that's what we come here to hear again. Sing it again. Preach it again. Tell it again. Praise God for it again. We just want to hear it again. I want to read a couple of verses here, verse 39, verse 44. I preached this yesterday morning at Brother Charles's, and he didn't get right. And his wife said, please preach it again. He was close. So we'll see how that is. But I want us to look at verse 39, what's written in red, if you have a red letter edition. What Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And then if you look down in verse 44, loose him and let him go. I have, of the last few weeks, been emphasizing the places in Scripture where it talks about going and coming, or went and came. There's over 200 verses in the Bible that contains those two words. The Bible is filled with it. Talks about Abraham went and came in his journeys. It talks about Ruth and her going and coming. Talks about Naomi and her going and coming. All through the Bible and references to those who went and came. Spoke about Christ and how John chapter number 6, he said, I came down from heaven. Acts chapter number 1 said he went back into the heavens. Goings and comings are not bad. It just depends on where you're going and where you came from. I want to emphasize in this text, Jesus, if we were to look back, the scripture talks about in verse number 7, he said, let us go. And he's talking about going to Judea or going to Bethany. Verse number 11, he said, but I go. He said in verse 15, let us go. Verse 17 said, and when Jesus came. And of course, what we realize is anywhere Jesus goes, he goes to do a work. If he shows up, there's something needs to be done. That's why I like it when he shows up and he shows off. And it is here that Lazarus has been sick. They have sent him word and they want him to come. They want him to come in a hurry. They want him to do a work totally. They need a miracle that only he can perform, as has been preached. And so he goes and comes. He went and came, and he shows up here for a work to be done. But they are surprised when he gets there as to this work and how it is to be accomplished. Because he does not just come and speak and Lazarus come forth. He does not just come and bring him forth from the grave. But the Bible says he talks to those that are there. He's there for a work to be accomplished, but he speaks to them. And the first thing he says, take ye the stone away. And the last thing he says is, loose him and let him go. Truth of the matter is, the Lord may be close to you and he may be wanting to do a work. I call it work expectation. But I'm just going to walk down through this and give you four or five thoughts about this matter of work expectation when Christ is there and when he shows up. I'm glad for his goings and comings. And the times that he showed up when I needed a work. But the first thing I want to emphasize for us to expect in this work expectation when Christ shows up. Expect that if you want God to do something, he may ask you to do something first and then last. Isn't it amazing here that Jesus talks to them? They must be dumbfounded and confounded. They're expecting him to do something, and before he does anything, he said, first thing I want is for you to do something. It is here that we see God's omnipotence and man's responsibility are never far apart. God never does anything without somebody. He said, fill the pots with water. And then he turned it into wine. He said, cast the net on the other side of the ship. And they brought forth the fish. Cast out into the deep. What God does for eternity, underscore this, will take some of your time. What God does that is miraculous will involve always a measure of the ordinary, mundane, everyday life. Roll the stone away. Amen. Truth of the matter is, stones are everywhere, holding in darkness, lifelessness, sinfulness, hopelessness. And someone will have to move those stones so that he will do his work. Moving the stone maybe by prayer. Moving the stone maybe by forgiveness. Moving the stone in your faithfulness. Moving the stone in your giving. Moving the stone in your love. He can split the Red Sea, but Moses will have to lift the rod. He can bring down the walls of Jericho, but the people will have to march around it. Expect. Oh, he can show up and he can work. But expect that if you want him to do something, there may be something you're going to have to do. First, move the stone. Have you got that? Oh, he loves to involve his body. He is the head, we are the body. And what we all know is that if the head's going to do anything, it has to do it through the body. And everything God does in an eternal work, listen to me, every eternal work and all of his works are eternal in this world. He does through his body, and I'm glad I'm a part of his body. I will do what you want me to do, but you're going to have to do what I want you to do. Expect. That if you want God to do something, he may ask you to do something first and then last. Amen. You will have to be involved. Amen. And somebody said, but it seems as though God ain't doing nothing. It's because maybe you're not doing something. The second thought that I would have, and we just step down through this, and we've had some good preaching this morning. Expect that if he does ask you to do something, it is because and only because he's got something he wants to do. How it ought to excite us when he comes to us and says, do this. Because if you do this, he's going to do that. If you're going to move the stone and roll it away, oh, what's going to happen after that? Expect if you want him to do something, you may have to do something first. But expect if he asks you to do something, it's because there's something he wants to do. There is a work. He's coming to work. His works work. But they work in you and through you. He wants to do his work if you do your work. But of course, understand that the something he asks you to do, though it seems big, does he have any idea how much that stone weighs? as he checked and see there may be an ordinance against this. We may get in trouble. It's embarrassing to go pushing stones away. I mean, digging graves. And that may seem to be something hard and harsh. It may seem like a big step in your life when he says to you in the physical matter, this is what I want you to do.
Yeah. Amen.
And it'll always be something you can do. You can do that. Because he's going to allow you to do what you can do so he can do what only he can do. But of course, what we need to understand is the something he asks you to do is minimal and small compared to the something he's going to do. Oh, he can split the water. He can send down the rain. He can turn the water into wine. He can bring forth the fish. He can do all of those things that are magnificent. And the majesty of them are so big.
Amen.
If you'll just do your little, it'll be nothing compared. Oh, the thrill of it. The thrill of it. When the Lord called me into evangelism, I fought it for 2 years. I told the people I was going to die right there at that place. But the day come, I had to surrender. But the reason why I did is I could not sleep at night thinking about what I was missing. What's he going to do if I do what I should do? Huh? I mean, when he comes to you and says, now I want you to take that money that you've set back for this, I want you to do that with it. Oh, wait a minute. You want me to do that? But then the thought comes, if I do that, what's he going to do? If I move the stone out of the way, what is he going to do? I want to see the bigness of God and what he can do in the simplicity of what he allows me and enlists me in doing. All I want you to do is move the stone. Something you can do. I like that, don't you? Expect it if you want God to do something, he may ask you to do something first. Expect that if he asks you to do something, it's because he's got something he's going to do. Because the truth of the matter is, we must realize that if you're not willing to do anything, if there is no requirement of you to be involved, it's a good sign he's not doing anything either.
Amen.
Somebody's going to be involved in what he's doing. And if you look around, nobody's doing anything. He ain't either. If the rain's going to come, there's going to be an Elijah. If the sinner's going to be saved, there's going to be somebody spreading that gospel. Aren't you glad he involves his body? Everything, as I said, he does through his body. I'm glad to be a part of his body. And you'll know he's working when you're working.
Amen.
No excuses. Well, I don't feel like moving the stone. I don't have time to do it. I'm afraid what others going to say. But if you don't move that stone, if you don't do that which he tells you to do, now I'm like the old mountain fella. I can't explain all this. But he told them to move the stone, didn't he? Let's suppose they don't move the stone. Now, I'm just supposing it could be that Lazarus would still be in that grave. I don't know that. I don't know what other route he would take. All I know is, thank God, we don't have to worry about it. They moved the stone. And I don't want to spend my life wondering about what God would do if I had done what he told me to do. I want to venture out in my part and say, oh God, thank you for calling me and giving me a part so I can be a part of what you're doing and see and watch what you're doing. Wouldn't you love? We used to have J.F. Akers preached up in the mountains every year for 3 or 4 years. He was 100, then probably 111, 12, 13. And they got to, people would come in hordes. He died at 116. And somebody said, well, the reason why the crowds come is because he's 100 and some years old. Well, I said, that's no problem to me. I'd drive 100 miles. I'd literally today drive 100 miles to watch a 116-year-old man breathe. He wouldn't have to do nothing else. Just breathe. And just think, for the swap up, if you move the stone, I'll do something that is impossible that you've never seen done before. You can stand there and witness your loved one coming out of darkness and out of the grave and being given life just because you moved the stone. And they went back home saying, thank God I moved the stone. If we hadn't to move the stone, I'm glad I moved the stone. I'm glad the little thing that seemed insignificant that he asked me to do, I did, because I was able to see the big thing.
Amen.
Work expectations. He's going and coming among us, and he's got a work he wants to do. But expect that if you want God to do something, he may ask you to do something first. Expect that if he asks you to do something, joyfully he's got something he's going to do.
Amen.
Expect that the something, I'm going to get some of that water on credit. This sermon don't turn out good. It may go down drastically, I don't know. I'll pay for the water. Expect. I want you to get this. Some of these things, religion will take over in your life, ruin everything. You won't help the work, you'll hurt the work. Expect that if he asks you to do something, the something he asks you to do is all the something he wants you to do. He wants you to move the stone, and that's all he wants you to do is move the stone. Just get the stone out of the way.
Amen.
Don't get filled with pride or feel like you've done something. Anybody can move a stone. He just asked you to move the stone. Nothing to brag about, nothing to be exalted about. But the worst thing you can do is move the stone and say, well, we've done that. Let's go in and see if we can't get Lazarus out of there. And go to pulling on his legs and do some kind of a artificial respiration, breathing in his face. Come on, slapping him in the face. You can't do that work. Only he can, honey. We can't send light into dark hearts. We can't save a sinner. We can't console or comfort. I'm going to tell you, we can't do nothing without him. He come to let you get involved in the work. You do what only you can do, and he'll do what only he can do.
Amen.
Move the stone and get out of the way.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 That's right,
brother. Amen.
Only heaven will reveal those that moved that stone. We have no names, but doesn't matter. That's not what this work's all about. Let us thank him that we can move that stone at his command. This is no sermon to encourage you to run around and start digging graves. Well, bless God, they moved a stone, I'll move a stone. Well, what you're going to do is open up a lot of stink. He's not calling you into the ministry of stone moving. You move that stone and get out of the way. And wait for me to tell you what else I want you to do. But don't run out there and start raising support. I'm going to start moving stones. I got a ministry of moving stones. Can anybody? And a lot of ignorant people will support you. Oh, they moved that one stone. They might move some. But if they move another stone, he ain't going to be there. And whoever's in there is going to stay there. And then we got to cover it all up and say, well, I think he breathed a little bit anyway. Huh? We're not here to try to take over what only he can do. But I'm glad he's here to do what he can do when we do what we can do. I'm going to tell you, I've been sent to preach his word and proclaim it. And when I'm done with that, I'm done. I don't care if you even remember who I am or what I've done. All I want to know is he worked through it and some light and life came out of it. If he asks you to do something, the something he asks you to do is all the something you need to be doing. And I tell you something else, don't jump on everybody else's bandwagon and everybody else's cause and feel like you've got to be a part of that. You wait until you get a word from him. It was a word that told them to move the stone. Don't touch it unless you get a word. And I'll tell you something. In the 50-some years I've been, 50, almost 55 in Christ, there've been a lot of wagons go by and a lot of causes. I was glad Lord sent me in the mountains of North Carolina. Them old timers had experienced Holy Ghost revival. And them wagons started coming along, telling everybody the new way to do it. They never said yay nor nay. They just milked their chin and watched them roll by. But they didn't get on board. I said, that's a pretty good idea. I think I'll just stick with what he tells me to do. And that'll be enough. Amen. Huh? But I'm going to tell you something. If you are a part of moving that stone away, that's more than enough. It is enough. Ain't nothing else you can do, no way. Just push the stone. Amen. You've done all you can do. Work expectations when he shows up. The first thing is he may expect you to do something. But if he does, it's because he's going to do something. But the something he wants you to do is all you need to be doing. A couple more things. The something that he asks you to do when he shows up will be an eternal work that will never stop doing something as a result of the something. You understand what I'm talking about? Say, what are you talking about? Well, that stone was rolled away 2,000 years ago. And they had no idea I was going to be in camp meeting this morning still rolling that stone. Think of the effect and influence, the rolling away of that stone. And Christ, as a result of that, bringing forth Lazarus from the dead. And in that same portion of the scripture saying, I am the resurrection. How many old sinners in their darkness with the stone of sin over their life have heard that message preached and God rolled their stone away? It just keeps on a rolling, 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 rolling. Keeps on a rolling. If you ever do something for him, if he ever allows you to be a part of what he does, thank God it'll never lose its effect. It'll keep on rolling. I mean, all the preaching that's been preached about Lazarus coming out of the grave, and it had never come unless somebody rolled the stone away.
Amen.
And let me say this. If you're sitting here tonight and you have light and you have life, I promise you it's because God used somebody to move your stone. Some mama pushed on your stone. Some daddy pushed on your stone. Some preacher pushed on your stone. Some saint pushed on your stone. And they pushed and pushed and pushed until they pushed it out of the way. And he breathed life into you. And light came into you. But the only reason was is because he used. If you're here and you're saved, God used somebody else that was saved to get to you so you would be saved. Keep on doing what he wants you to do. It has an eternal effect. And all of those who come out of the grave are going to be in heaven. Somebody said, well, I didn't do much. I just pushed the stone away. You don't know how much you did. I was preaching between Weedow in Roanoke, Alabama. Finished the service that night, leaving. An elderly gentleman, one of the last ones there, we were just small talking. And he was 81 years old. And I asked him if he was from around there and so on. He said, yes. Matter of fact, I live a few miles down the road. I said, you've been a member of this church long? He said, well, I got saved here when I was 69. That caught my attention. And he began to share it with me. I wanted to hear it. It has to do with this eternal work that comes out of that Christ allows us to be a part of. He said, I had retired. And he said, all I wanted to do is mess with antiques. I went looking and buying and swapping and trading antiques. And he said, I came around this road not far from here one day, and I looked up on the hill, and he said, there were two wagon wheels I'd been looking for a long time, antiques. One on one side of the driveway, one on the other side. Said, I told my wife, I'm going to drive up in there, and I'm going to see if I can bargain that man out of his wagon wheels. I got to have them. Pulled up in there as it was. The gentleman was out in the yard. They turned around, introduced themselves, didn't know each other. He said, sir, the reason why I pulled up here is because I saw those two wagon wheels and I was wondering what kind of price would you put on them to sell them to me? He said, the man said, well, to be honest with you, I never thought about selling them, never really wanted to sell them. And he said, then he said, let me ask you something. He said, do you go to church anywhere? He said, no, sir, I'm not much of a churchgoer, never went much in my life. He said, I'll tell you what, I go to church right out the church we're standing in. If you'll come to church Sunday morning and just sit through the service, come back by my house and we'll dig them up and you can have them both. He said, it shocked me. He said, are you serious? He said, I'm serious. You come Sunday morning, you can have both wagon wheels. He said, I got in my car, never said yay nor nay. Pulled out of the driveway, kind of quiet. And the wife said, well, what, did he want to sell him? He said, no, he wants to give them to me. Yeah. Said, give them to you? Why? He said, well, he said, if I'd come to church Sunday morning, I could have the wagon wheels. Yeah. She said, well, you've been a reprobate all your life. It won't hurt you to go to church one time. Said, she encouraged me. I turned around and said, I pulled back up in the driveway. I got out and said, sir, are you serious about this? He said, sir, you be there. You can have the wagon wheels. He said, I came to this church on Sunday morning, me and my wife. Said, I sat right back here, put his hand on the seat, the last seat. My intention was to get in there and get out and get my wagon wheels. But he said, right there in the middle of that sermon, that preacher got to preaching the gospel and preaching about my sin and my need of Christ. And I couldn't wait for him to get done. I ran to that altar and he said, I got down and I got saved. And he said, when I got up, I looked over there and my wife got up and she got saved. I said, hallelujah. Eternity's going to benefit by two old wagon wheels that brought two into the kingdom of God. But then he didn't finish. Said, I've been here ever since then. And he said, a year or so after I got saved, said a missionary come through here putting together Gospels of John. Asked the church if there's anybody there that would like to do that. And he said, I volunteer. Now he's 81 years old, got saved when he's 69. Here's what he said. He said, preacher, and he's so excited. He said, to date, this church has sent out over 1 million Gospel of Johns. I said, hallelujah. Two old wagon wheels brought two sinners into the kingdom. Produced over 1 million Gospels of John sent around the world, and who knows how many read that Gospel of John and read that Gospel in chapter number 11 and got born again. And one of these days that old boy is going to be in heaven, and he's going to find a bunch of wagon wheel saints as they testify about how two wagon wheels brought him into the kingdom when they find him. It may not be a lot. You may not have to do a lot. But God can do a lot out of the little. Two old wagon wheels. Now that's the end of the story on the wagon wheels, because he never mentioned no more. And I'm pretty sure, I'm going to guess, he never went by and got them. Because they was something bigger than a wagon wheel. Huh? My wife started learning to play the piano at 7 or 8 years old. She travels with me everywhere and does all my invitations. Somebody said, why? I said, because I preach a lot of duds, and I need somebody to pull me out. And she does. But here's how that started. She got interested just hitting one note at a time. She had a sister by the name of Mary that was 20-some years older than her. Lived and worked in Johnson City, but she'd come home every weekend. And she told little Esther at 8 years, 7, 8 years old, said, now, honey, I'll tell you what I'll do. Every song that you learn for Jesus, I'll give you 25 cents. She would work all week long to learn a gospel song, Amazing Grace, Just As I Am. Those hymns of faith. So that when she came, she'd give her 25 cents. You do know for a dollar you can get 4 songs. $10 you can get 40 songs. And can you imagine for 25 cents what God has done through those fingers on that piano we've been married for 48 years. And every time she gets on that piano and hits a note, I say, thank you, Mary, for 25 cents. 25 cents and hundreds of songs for just a little bit. The something that he asks you to do will never stop doing something somewhere. Now, let me just throw this at you, and I'm done. The something he asks you to do will never be about the something. Wow. Wow. This is not about a stone. Let's don't take that stone now and put it up as some idol to be worshipped. It ain't about a stone. It's not about Lazarus. No, it ain't. You say, well, who's it about? It's about the one that told you to do something. Because as I said, the biggest thing said in this text is not Lazarus come forward, but I am the resurrection and the life. It will always be about him. Let's stand.
What a challenge.